September 2nd. This is lesson 10, I believe. Again, as we talked about what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be a disciple of Christ. We talked about being a child of God. Again, these are just terms that Christians are called. Believer, disciple, servant, saint, pilgrim or sojourner, steward, soldier, and last week we went over being a priest. And you see in the middle of the board there, we're going to go tonight over being called of God, that term called, and we'll define that. You're going to hear me use the word invitation or invited, I should say, a lot for called. And we'll talk about that, being called or being invited in certain things. And of course, I've wrote several things on the board. We'll get to that as time goes on. But a Christian is called of God. The New Testament refers to God's people as the called of God. Called of several things, and we'll note several things, but ultimately, we're called of God. We're called of Christ and called of other things we'll go over. But we're called of God. Let's see a few examples real quick. Turn to Jude in verse 1. Verse 1 says, Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, beloved in God, the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ. So we're told here, those who are called. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Begin at verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. And finally, Romans chapter 1. And verse 6. Including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. So we'll go over some of those things. But again, in learning what a Christian is, what it means to be a Christian, and again, through the study of terms of what we're called, other terms, one of those things we must include is being called of God. Okay. So first of all, the definition of the term. We turn to the middle portion of the board where the Greek words are. The term translated called is that first one, kletos, there. And it comes from the verb, which is the second one there, meaning to call, kaleo. And it's the verb from which the word church at the bottom there, ecclesia, is also derived. And I divide it up further. The first part of ecclesia, the EK portion, means out from and to something. And of course, called. We're called out from something. And to something, the church, the called out. That's what was derived from that verb to call. But it's sometimes used, as I mentioned, in the sense of to invite. And I'll use that a lot. Okay, this word to call means to invite, in the sense that it's used. Because it's used for God's invitation through the preaching of the gospel, the word takes on a technical sense to mean those who have accepted God's invitation. We as Christians have been invited by God, and we have accepted that invitation. We've been called by God, invited by God. We've answered that call. We've answered that invitation. Any questions about that? The church is composed, again, of the called out ones. The saints are the called out of God. The parable of the wedding feast. Turn to Matthew chapter 22. We'll read the scripture here, the first 14 verses. It says, And again Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. And he sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. And he sent other servants, saying, Tell those who are invited, See, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen, my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast. But they paid no attention and went off, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them. And the king was angry, and he sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. And he said to his servants, The wedding feast is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you find. And those servants went out to the roads and gathered all whom they found, both bad and good. And so the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to look at the guests, he saw there a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to him, "Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. And the king said to the attendants, "Bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." So we saw that word called there a lot. We saw that word invited or invitation there quite a bit. But Jesus compared God's work in this reading of redemption to a wedding feast. And again, this wedding feast, the king prepared this great feast. His son was going to get married. So he had this wedding feast prepared. And he sent forth his servants to call them or invite those. And they were invited to the feast. In the parable, we saw that those who had been invited made light of this invitation. They turned them away. They didn't come. And because of the manner in which the invited guests treated the invitation, the king then turned to the highways and such and invited others, whoever would come to this feast. And we're also told the application of the parable was to, we're told that the kingdom of God, the Lord made preparations for the coming of the kingdom, announcing beforehand to the Jewish nation that this kingdom was to be established. And when the Messiah came, they treated him disdainfully in a bad way, much like this parable. And then the Lord turned, of course, to the Gentiles, inviting whomsoever or those who would come to the kingdom. And those who were called or invited came to this feast. We as people, we value invitations. When we get invited to something, we put more value on certain invitations. If we get invited to the White House to have a dinner, we would treat that as more special than if you was going to go to McDonald's with me for an afternoon and you see me all the time. It's the invitation of those, of the one who sends it, we put value on it, on the invitation, if we're called to do something, the one who's doing the calling to us. So because of this, our invitation that we have is to participate in the Lord's kingdom. And we should hold this the highest regard. He's calling us. He's invited us. And we should cherish this above all invitations. Our invitation to be part of this kingdom of God also comes directly from God. It's not from my messenger or anything, so to speak, other than preaching and so forth. But it comes directly from God Himself. If you turn to Ephesians chapter 1. It's as if the president himself contacting you, or the governor, however you want to word it, or those in high rank and so forth. But this comes from God. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 18. "Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints." We see there this hope in which He personally has called you. Philippians chapter 3. And let's turn to verse 14. "Told here, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." So a little more information here. It's the call of God, but we learn also it's through or in Christ Jesus. But again, coming directly from God. That's who the invitation or the calling is coming from. God has invited us to be a part of His kingdom, but it's also so we can share in the benefits of what that calling, what that invitation brings. It's again, as we know, it's not on the basis of our own good works. Okay, it's based on His grace. If you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. In other words, we can't earn anything. It's nothing on merit that we've done. It's a free invitation or a free calling. But it's based on His grace. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9. Let's read verse 8. "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, His prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling." Again, we're told here, "not because of our works, but because of His own purpose and grace, which He gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began." So we're told a lot of information here. When He purposed this invitation or this calling, it was before the ages, before the world began. We're told that He gave it to us through His grace, not of our own works. And it was in Christ Jesus is where this grace or where this invitation or these blessings come from. We're also told up in verse 8 again, there's suffering in this invitation or this gospel, but it's also by the power of God. So a lot of information there. But again, main point that I'm getting to, it's based on His grace and not our good works. We don't deserve the salvation, the invitation, or the calling which He has invited us to enjoy. Again, I like those terms. He invites us that will cause us to enjoy these blessings. Access to this salvation has been made possible also through Jesus. Galatians chapter 1. And read verse 6. I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. The point here on this verse is we're called into the grace of Christ. Okay, it's through Christ again that we've been called into or invited to. We'll read it that way. Him who invited you into the grace of Christ and you're turning to a different gospel on those things. So what are we called? Again, finishing up that last section, we should treasure our blessing, which is what it is for being called or invited by God again to the blessings we get through the gospel and those things. To what are we called? And this is the last section here. What I'm going to do is read through this. If you all just turn to some verses there and let you all read those as I get to each section. Just pick you out one there and we'll go through those. But the first one, again, we're given an invitation. And when you get an invitation, you want to know what you've been invited to. What's the things that you've been called to do? What have you been invited to? And so here are some of the characteristics of what we've been called to. And the first one, if someone would read that, the first call is to repentance. Matthew 9 and verse 13, please.
But go and learn what this means. I desire compassion, not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners.
Some versions say, but sinners to repentance. Okay, not calling the righteous. They have no need of repentance. But the sinners, they have need of what? Repentance. So they're calling to repentance. We're being called or invited to repentance. Fellowship with Christ specifically. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 9.
God faithfully keeps His promise. He called you to be partners with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Okay. Partners, you said? Partners are called us into fellowship, some versions read, there with His Son, Jesus Christ. We're being invited to be in fellowship or partnership with Christ. We're called or invited to do that. Peace. The first section is peace with God. If someone read 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 15, looking really for that last portion of the verse, that being called to peace with God.
But if the unbeliever depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace.
He called us or invited us to peace, our invitation to have peace. But that's our peace in this section here, peace with God. I want to turn real quick to a couple of things because Jesus came and He preached peace. Ephesians chapter 2. In verse 17, we're told here, and He came and preached peace to you who were afar off and peace to those who were near. So one of the specific meanings, main meanings really in reality, because we're being reconciled with God the Father, is that Jesus came to preach peace. Reconciliation with God. We could be made whole again. We had a separation, and He's preaching, inviting us back to have peace with God. And that, of course, is through the blood of Jesus, through sacrifice. We also are invited to have peace with oneself. Philippians 4 and verse 7, please.
And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
When you understand that you have salvation, there's a calm peace about ourselves. And it passes. You can't explain it to any others unless you experience that. But God invites us to have that peace not only with Him, but also with ourselves in all things. But also with others. We're allowed to have this peace of God. If someone read Colossians 3, verses 14 and 15.
But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, which also you were called in one body to be thankful.
You know, the term called again, or you were invited, you were called to have this peace. Romans chapter 12. Again, with this thought of having peace with others. Verse 18. We're simply told, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. So do everything in your power to do that, but it's through God's invitation to do those things. We also are called or invited to have eternal life. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12, please.
Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses.
Okay. Called to the, or invited to have this eternal life by fighting this good fight of faith, by laying hold on to eternal life, and so forth. Again, because we're invited or called to receive eternal life, we're called to inherit a blessing. That's the ultimate, or the end result. 1 Peter chapter 3. I'll turn there and read real quick. And verse 9. Again, we're called to inherit a blessing. 3 and verse 9 says, "Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, for this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. For this you were called, this you were invited, that you may obtain a blessing." And it's also noticed in chapter 5 of 1 Peter in verse 10, it's into eternal glory. Verse 10 says, "And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." So again, we're told here we're called or invited to this eternal glory that's in Christ. We're also called or invited to citizenship, specifically, of course, God's kingdom, citizenship in that. Someone read 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 12.
"That you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory."
And lastly, someone get liberty, Galatians 5 and verse 13.
"We were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another."
Okay. Called into freedom, as you read, some says liberty. Called or invited into freedom or liberty. Any questions so far, comments? What's the nature of the calling? Again, this calling, we talked about, originates from God, and it consummates or ends in our receiving our inheritance of heaven. That's the end result of this blessing, of this calling. It's called a higher calling. We already read that in Philippians 3:14. It's called a holy calling in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 9. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1, it's called a heavenly calling. "Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus the apostle and high priest of our confession." We read that verse last week about priesthood. But again, this heavenly calling, this heavenly invitation that we have to partake in. And then also in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 18, here it's a calling or an invitation with hope. "Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints," are invited. Of course, we had to accept that invitation. We talked about that parable we read earlier. They were invited, but you got to accept an invitation and go through certain things. Turn over to chapter 4 of Ephesians. This same thought in verse 4. "There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call." Okay. The method of the calling. How does God call us? We've had several lessons over the years about calling upon God, God calling upon you. How do you do that call? How's that calling done? Again, there's been a number of explanations of how men are called. You look at to your denominational friends and so forth, various ways that they define or say that you're called. Calvinism, for instance, believes that, and again, as I say this, contrast that with what we know about the Word of God. Calvinism believes that God has predestined all men into two classes, the elect and what's called the reprobate. Those whom God chooses to save are called the elect, and they're given this irresistible, miraculous call of grace, we're told. And before men are received into the fellowship of the church, they have to give their testimony on how God called them, how God invited them, or how God called them. And then they're to be voted on into the church by its members. And subjective experiences are the evidence that one has been called by God. Even today, we know people who claim that God, or they testify that God speaks directly to them in some still, quiet, soft voice, and so forth. Sometimes they're told that they're giving them these tongue-speaking experience or some other outward sign that proves that they've been called. Okay, that's how the world sees those things. But let's look and see what we see in here. And let's start back at Matthew chapter 4. Jesus was on earth. He lived here. And while he did, he called men directly to be his disciples. He invited them. He called them. When he wanted Peter, Andrew, James, and John to be his disciples, he went to where they were working, and he called them to be his disciples. And he said, come, follow me. Chapter 4 of Matthew, beginning at verse 18. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make fishers of men. That's an invitation. He's calling for them to, or inviting them. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. What did he do? He invited them as well. Immediately they left the boat and their father, and they followed. What happened after that? These men were taught by Jesus. He called them, he invited them, and then he taught them certain things. Well, on earth, if you turn to, go ahead and turn to John chapter 6. While on earth, Jesus said that coming to God requires that one be taught the gospel. In other words, he used words to call men to be his disciples. John chapter 6 and verse 44. We'll read 44 and 45. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and get to hear things, you must have words spoken to you, or you must read words and so forth. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. So he invited them, he called them, and then he taught them, and he used words to do those things. Afterwards, Jesus ascended to the Father, hung on the cross, went to the Father. Men still called to be his disciples are being taught about God, of God, through hearing and learning and then coming. And that occurs through, again, the preaching of the gospel. Turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we'll see what Paul said about that. 14. To this he called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. We were called by what? The gospel here. The gospel is that story of God or Jesus and his salvation, what he did for us. But through words, through teaching, you must learn these things. All the invitations of the gospel are extended through preaching. Jesus invited men who had burdens of guilt, of sin, and so forth laid upon them. Matthew chapter 11, turn back there. Verse 28-30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Furthermore, in Revelation, two passages there. John being the writer here, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him, and he with me. So again, that invitation, being there, he'll come in and be with him. And then Revelation chapter 22. Someone read verse 17, please.
Here the bride says, come, let him who hears say, come. Let him who thirsts come, he'll resolve, let him take the water by freely.
Okay, freely or without price. Okay. But the point is, we have this invitation. We have to accept this invitation and all that it entails. We sing several songs about this calling or invitation. One of them is God Calling Yet. We sing, Shall I Not Rise? Or God is Calling Yet, Shall I Not Rise? Can I His loving voice despise and basely His kind care repay? He calls me still, can I delay? Well, this calling, this invitation that we have. We also sing one, Jesus is Calling. Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, calling today, calling today. And then lastly, where he leads me. We read, I can hear my Savior calling. Where he leads me, I will follow. So he calls, he invites, but we do things. We follow. We follow upon those things and go forward. We have examples of the Corinthians. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 24. Anything so far, comments or questions? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24. We can see here how men are called of God, again, by looking at the Corinthians. And they're described here as called of God. So two passages we'll look at. 1 Corinthians 1. I can get there. Verse 24. Let's back up to verse 22. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. Again, that teaching, that preaching of Christ crucified. A stumbling block, it says, to Jews and folly to Gentiles. In verse 24, but to those who are called, those who are invited, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. And of course, we know this is coming from the book of Corinthians. They were called of God. Turn over to Acts chapter 18. And we'll put those two together. So how were they called? Here in a second, we're going to see where Paul preached at Corinth, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. Acts 18 and verse 8, again, before he had written that letter we just read from. Let's start verse 7. And he left there, and he went to the house of a man named Titus Justus, a worshiper of God. His house was next door to the synagogue. His location there. Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord together with his entire household, and many of the Corinthians, hearing Paul, believed and were baptized. So Paul called them, he invited them, and they acted upon those things, and they were called of God, as we saw later on when he wrote 1 Corinthians. This high calling that we have, because again we've talked about who this calling comes from, who this invitation comes from God himself. It's a high calling, it demands high living on our behalf or our part if we receive that invitation, accept it. Ephesians chapter 4, if you'll turn back over there. Again, Paul writing here in verse 1, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. Of course, this is the calling, the invitation. It's already been accepted, that invitation. Now walk worthily in that calling, the invitation. Turn back over to Matthew chapter 22. We read the story of the wedding feast earlier. Again, this heavenly calling requires godly living. Toward the end of the passage, we talked about one who was without a wedding garment. Begin at verse 11. But when the king came in to look at the guest, he saw there a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to him, friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. And the king said to the attendants, bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Many are invited, many are called, but few are chosen. So what's lacking there? It's their response to that invitation, that calling. Many are called. Few are chosen. Few accept that invitation. And we see here that the Lord had bound him hand and foot and cast him away. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 7 and 8. For God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. Again, we're talking about a holy living. You accept the invitation and how should you walk or live. For God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. Therefore, whoever disregards this, disregards not man, but God, who gives His Holy Spirit unto you. And so in conclusion, we've been invited. Let's remember who we've been invited by. Of course, we've accepted the invitation. We are Christians. We are called of God. We're all these other things, these other terms. priests, soldiers, and so forth. But keep in mind our heavenly calling, who it comes from, and also how blessed we are because we know what the end result is, what we're invited to. We're invited to heaven when this is over. So is there any questions or comments? And I forgot to write down what I'm doing next week, so.
Greg, I was
surprised. Yes.
We're walked worthy of the calling which we were called to deal with all of us. Repent, fellowship, those things. Those things, we're doing those things, they make us something where we were walked worthy of what we were called. Well, go back to Matthew chapter 4. It talks about that we called Peter and Andrew. We called them to go make a fisherman. When they become fishermen, they were called fishermen of man. They had to first come in and were called. It's kind of like Acts 20, verse 26. Disciples were called any Christians in Antioch. It was something that they were. When I say Greg Bender is a thief, I'm calling it, that's what he is. And so because of this calling you talked about, then they are called Christians. That's the aspect that that calling put them into. Therefore, they're called Christians. And so that Christian who has been called out of the world, the invitation is given.
Right.
There's something about it that people should call him or her a Christian.
That's by their actions and how they live and before others. Anything else? Thank you.